This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato alongside for the next hour here on News Talk Radio WOKV. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll host our annual mock draft. And, of course, 2 weeks from tomorrow night, the first round of the NFL draft comes your way. We'll start 7 o'clock, Joe, right? That's what you said? Did he tell you that? Did you know?
As of last Wednesday night as we were on the air, I found out. So I'm good to go.
All right.
I got a car coming for you.
Oh, do you?
Nice.
Does it have rose petals on the floor?
Is it the same
I know
car
you love me that much.
Same car that Tom Coughlin used to send for Andre Rison? Great. Yeah, that one will be fun.
It wasn't Andre Rison. It was R.J. Soward who used to get the car service.
I guess it was they used to wake up Rison. And then they had Corey. If you remember, Corey, the intern, used to stand there and wait for his car to pull up so that he could go park it so that Andre could get to the meetings in time.
All these things that happened that I had never even knew, and I was right here.
You're focused.
A lot of those things were kind of hush-hush anyway.
You got a big smile on your face.
I'm just listening to the banter.
Have you got any to add?
Not much.
Really?
Yeah, it's quiet around here. This is the lull before the draft. This is the time
this
when...
This is the misinformation time.
This is the... Just what I was going to say. This is the misinformation time. This is the time when coaches start asking sports writers instead of sports writers asking coaches, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
What do you hear? What do you hear? Who's so-and-so going to draft? They're all, you know, getting their mocks ready.
Well, let's deal with the Jaguars first, since the show is called Jaguars This Week. The Donovan McNabb story, traded from Philadelphia to Washington, certainly would seem to change the dynamic at the top of the draft because we talked last week about Bradford going one overall, lifting Clawson up perhaps to that spot at number four. It wouldn't make sense now to bring him in. So what does Jimmy Clawson do? Your estimation, obviously, since misinformation is now the season.
What do the Redskins do at number four?
Yeah, and where does Jimmy Clawson fall to?
When you do things like they've done with McNabb, then you're clearly saying we're all about now, you draft for need. You don't go best available player with the fourth overall pick when you have literally put a deadline on your football team. You have set the alarm clock. What's McNabb have left in him? A couple years?
Well, I mean, the big story this week was...
Look at Brett Favre.
Yeah, and that Mike Shanahan took John Elway at 35 and coaxed, you know, 5 good years out of him in two Super Bowls. So,
well, let me put it this way.
Say four.
Donovan McNabb has never participated in a practice or a game that the Eagles management hasn't observed him and evaluated him, including on tape. All practices are taped. So they have evaluated every practice and game of his career. And now you're going to tell them he's not shot?
Well, how much of it is
you know what I mean? I mean, wouldn't you?
But you know what, Vic? Though I mean, there's been other quarterbacks who have been kind of tossed aside, saying that there's nothing left, and have turned out to have a lot left. Kurt Warner is one of them.
Yeah, he bounced around a couple of times.
And the question that I have about this whole Donovan McNabb thing, who was the one behind it? Was it Andy Reid, or was this an owner saying, you know, hey, look, you know, we may have to give this guy a tremendous amount of money in what could be a lockout year. Let's get something for him now.
This has Joe Banner's signature on it. Joe Banner is their president, and he's a sharp guy. He is a real front office genius. He's the guy who has done the cutting edge things. Let's not forget that the Eagles were the team that literally invented prepaying on the salary cap by using roster bonus to make room in the future and eat up room in the present. And then they were the ones that took that prepayment on their salary cap and then paid on the back end, used it to pay on the back end of it by signing all these guys like Patterson. and
Trent Cole
to these long range contracts that moved more money forward, so that they were putting themselves into a position where they were setting their future for 5, 6, 7 years out.
I get what you're saying, but how much of the decision to move McNabb has to do with the fact that you've got Kevin Cobb behind him? And I mean, you've met Kevin.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like he's ready to go. So why not get what you can from McNabb, even if you think he still could play a couple more years? It's time to move on.
They decided.
Hold on. Let's get the Philly natives' perspective.
This isn't
here.
Even about the Eagles. You need somebody to teach Clawson. It isn't going to be Jason Campbell. Why can't you have McNabb?
Joe, they have coaches for that. Please, don't go there. Don't go with that mentoring crap.
No,
players
no.
play and coaches coach. They
no,
have coaches
but,
for
but
teaching.
But Mike Shanahan did come out and say that, hey, there's nothing wrong with having an established guy with a guy that's sitting behind him developing a la Aaron Rodgers.
Well, then you're wasting McNabb because their team is crap.
But maybe that's why McNabb is shot. Maybe
they don't
he's okay to mentor somebody.
Maybe not.
Who's their left tackle?
They don't have one.
They don't have one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's real good. You got an old quarterback who can't run anymore, and you got no left tackle.
Well, so that would make sense. It's either Trent Williams or Russell Okung, right, at the top
exactly.
of the
I mean, you've got to go for need now. I mean, you've made the move to the present with this stunning trade for
well,
McNabb.
Well, maybe the need meets the value.
If they draft Clawson, then I guess I'm right.
Then
yeah,
you
no,
would,
you absolutely,
you are right.
Absolutely, but it would make no sense at all because you've got Trent Williams, Brian Bulaga, Russell Okung from Oklahoma State. You've got these really good-looking left tackles out there, and you desperately need one. So you're going to turn to a 34-year-old quarterback who's really become heavy-legged. He still has a good arm, but he's not running like he used to, and that's what the difference in his career.
11 years does
And you're going to tell him that we're going to stick some journeyman guy. We'll find somebody. We'll get a guy and put him at left tackle in that division?
I don't think he's as heavy-legged as you think. I think he's still very mobile and very capable of protecting himself. You know, it's not like he's Dan Marino, you know, post Achilles injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Donovan can still move.
All right, so let's apply this.
He needs to lose a little weight.
Yeah, but he was with a good team last year and they didn't win.
Let's apply this now to the Jaguars. And the reason I say that is Jimmy Clawson. Now, Joe thinks he can go four, but it seems like he's now on a slide. Where does he stop? Does he get to the Jaguars and what can the Jaguars do with that?
Well, does Buffalo like him at nine?
That's the question.
This is the misinformation
period.
That's
the problem. See, you got Buffalo sitting there with a huge need at quarterback.
Right.
That's the spot.
When teams consider trading up, and let's use Darrell Revis as an example. The Jets wanted Revis. So where do you have to get to trade up to get him? You've got to get above the first team that is a candidate to pick him.
Well, that would be then you got to go to eight and get the Raiders spot.
Well, let me ask you this because – I mean, heck, the Jets have been a great dance partner for teams willing to trade down. Where are the Jets drafting, and what type of picks do they have available to possibly want to trade up?
They're at the bottom of the first round.
Yeah, and do they have their whole slew of picks? You know, I mean, I'm just thinking of potential dance partners the Jaguars could trade down with, and the Jets, as to me,
your best dance partner
is one there because you look at Darrell Revis, Mark Sanchez. The Jets went up and got both of those guys.
Your I'm best dance partner is a team looking for a quarterback. All right. where is Cleveland in this draft? They're ahead of the Jaguars.
Yeah.
All right.
Buffalo's ahead of them.
Buffalo's ahead of them. San Francisco is ahead of them. Is that correct? No, behind them. San Francisco's behind the Jaguars. There's a dance partner. Although there's a possibility that they could even take Tim Tebow. I'm sorry, Tim Tebow. Because
Who could take
the 49ers? Singletary, you know, is now in control of personnel, and he likes what he's.
I can see it in his eyes.
He sees it in his eyes.
Well, you know, there's a report again, misinformation. There's a report that the Raiders came away very impressed.
Well, that would make total sense.
Of course,
yeah. You know, yeah. But so you look at the teams that have need at quarterback, and there are a lot of them, and there are a lot of them in the high end of the order, too. You know, I mean, Tennessee doesn't have need a quarterback. Vince Young is the answer?
Maybe.
No.
The owner likes him.
The owner screwed it up in the first place.
Jets are 29th.
Put on a pretty good string of wins.
Yeah, there's a possibility, too, that Albert Haynesworth may be going back to Tennessee.
No, the Redskins came out today and said that he was not on the block, ever.
Is that right?
By the way, you just look from Washington on down. You wouldn't think Kansas City, but you could go Seattle, perhaps. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck had the shoulder, and he's not getting any younger, and Pete Carroll reportedly loved him when he was coming out of high school. Cleveland could use a quarterback. The Raiders could use a quarterback. The Bills could use a quarterback. I mean, those are all in front of Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all plausible.
Yeah, it's the Mark Sanchez thing all over again. We wanted Sanchez to make it down to 8 last year, and he got down to 5. And I think this is going to be the same thing. Clausen doesn't get past 5 or 6.
All right. Well, just thinking here now, Seattle has Denver's pick at 14. So they've got 2 picks in the top 14. Maybe they wanted to come back up.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they grab Eric Berry or someone at 6 and then want to come back up to get the quarterback.
The best way to look at this is that teams fit themselves to the player. They don't fit the player to the team. I mean, Clausen is looks like he is a top 5 kind of pick, which is probably where he'll go, and teams are going to have to fit themselves to it. Now, fit themselves to him. If he was to fall to the Jaguars, I mean, it would just be stunning, because there's no doubt in my mind that they would get exactly what they want, and they want to trade back, and they want to get extra picks.
All right, folks, our broadcast is brought to you this evening by JustX Watches. You can get your JustX Watch available exclusively at Espling Jewelers, and we'll return with more of this fine program on News Talk Radio WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Folks, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. Just for fun. Your buddy, Mel Kiper, has come out with Todd McShay.
My buddy.
Well, affectionately, your buddy. They've got their latest just mock draft. Let me go through the top 10 real quick just to kind of play with names and talk about scenarios. All right. Both of them have Sam Bradford going number 1 overall to the St. Louis Rams. Is that a foregone conclusion in your mind?
Looks like it.
Okay.
The quarterbacks have gone number 1 in just about every draft for a long time, you know?
And he fits there?
Who was number 1 last year? Was Stafford, and we've had David Carr. We've had, who the heck?
Who's the guy?
Peyton Manning. I mean,
the guy from that went to Cleveland.
Yeah, Crouch. Couch.
Tim Couch.
And but
was
no,
he first
but,
overall, second first overall? Overall.
First overall in 99.
And then the other Manning.
Yeah, Eli.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, quarterback. And the guy from San Francisco.
Eli wasn't the first pick of the draft,
no,
was he?
No, I don't think so. Eli wasn't the first
pick. That was a great quarterback draft, but I think
he was like 4th.
Yeah.
And then the guy you're talking about, Alex Smith.
Alex Smith. Didn't Eli get drafted overall by San Diego, or they traded with the Giants? Wasn't it the first pick?
I guess it was.
Okay, I guess you're right. Yeah. I'm sorry, you're right. That was, I forgot about that. I thought he was 3rd, which is where the Giants were, but obviously not. Okay, so Bradford, number 1 overall. Then both of them have Ndamukong Suh, the defensive tackle from Nebraska. And both of them have Gerald McCoy, the defensive tackle from
Oklahoma. And the teams you got,
Oklahoma.
St. Louis,
Detroit, Tampa.
Tampa.
Apologize. Those two defensive tackles. Thoughts on those two guys? I mean, are they
They're just blue chip studs. I mean, look at how St. Louis has screwed this up. I mean, what a mess that situation is. Last year, they have the 2nd pick of the draft. They draft Jason Smith. Bust. Just a ridiculous, ridiculous pick. And there were lots of personnel guys who said he's not a first-round guy. All right?
Not a first-round guy, let alone
if they pick Sanchez last year. If they pick Sanchez last year, they're picking a Sue or McCoy this year, and they're built. They've got the trigger man, and they got the stud on defense. Instead, what they got is a bust last year and a Sam Bradford who is can he stay healthy? I mean, they could go bust.
Hasn't been able to yet.
Right. What a mess that situation is.
Do you like one of these two guys more than the other?
Well, I think McCoy gives you a little more pass rush potential down the road.
More
but how can you not like The guy from Nebraska.
Did you see him play against Texas, by the way, in the
fabulous.
Big 12 championship
Just
game?
Fabulous.
Those are Texas offensive
Man among
linemen.
Boys.
Yeah. It at a high level in college football. Okay. Both of them have the Redskins now taking Russell Okung from Oklahoma State.
Which makes complete sense.
And then it starts to diverge. They've got Kansas City, and Kuiper has the Chiefs taking Eric Berry, the safety from Tennessee. And McShay has them taking Brian Bulaga.
Well, who's Kansas City's quarterback?
Matt Cassel. They paid him, too.
That's right.
What a mess that is, absolutely. Yeah. But McShay has the Chiefs going with Brian Bulaga at right tackle, opposite the kid from Virginia, Brandon Albert, at left tackle, and saying that they're done now there. And then you look at Seattle at six. Kuiper has Trent Williams, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma, who was obviously climbing. I don't think he was considered top 10 2 weeks ago, was he?
Yeah, he kind of was.
Was he?
He's on the move, but he's a blue chipper.
And McShay has Eric Berry going six there. Then you get to Cleveland at number seven, and you've got Kuiper going with Dez Bryant, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State.
And Holmgren's not going to take one of those guys.
It would be there would just be an announcement to all the Browns fans that you're going to stink more. I mean, it's just. I mean, this is what they've been doing. The guy from Michigan, Braylon Edwards, bust, had to trade him. They've just been drafting glitzy guys, and the only big guy they drafted, Joe Thomas, is the only real nucleus they have from any of these drafts. I mean, they went for a pass rusher and Cameron Wimbley from Florida State. He's a bust. He's gone.
He had one really good year, and then last year he was IR. They tried to trade him this year.
Yeah. Did he not sign with – did they trade him? Is he not with someone else now?
I don't think so.
If they did, I don't
– we'll look him up during the break, but he's a bust. So, when you go for these flashy names, receivers, especially receivers, in the first round you're asking for trouble.
Todd McShay has the Browns grabbing Dan Williams, the big defensive tackle.
That would be a great pick for them.
From Tennessee. And then we get to eight with Oakland, and this is where Jimmy Clausen's name first shows up in their mock draft. And McShay has Trent Williams from Oklahoma going to Oakland. At nine, they've got the Bills taking an offensive tackle.
So Kuiper has Clausen going to the Raiders.
At number eight, right. At number nine, Kuiper has them taking Bulaga from Iowa.
One thing on Clausen. Let's not forget who the owner is, Al Davis. He's nuts. Yeah. Let's not forget that he had another Notre Dame quarterback named Daryl LaMonica,
who was his guy,
Burline, but LaMonica was Al Davis's guy, started this whole thing a long time ago in the 60s, and Al is living in the past. He's living a romantic notion. I would not put that past him to draft Clausen.
How much money are you?
But I don't think Clausen makes it down that far. I think someone comes up.
Okay, so at eight, Kuiper says Jimmy Clausen from Notre Dame to the Raiders. McShay says Trent Williams, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma, to the Raiders. At nine, both gentlemen have an offensive tackle for the Buffalo Bills. Kuiper has Brian Bulaga from Iowa. McShay has Anthony Davis from Rutgers. Then at 10, and here we go to the Jaguars pick, McShay has Earl Thomas, the safety from Texas, and Kuiper has the Jaguars taking C.J. Spiller.
And Vic has them taking Rolando McClain.
All right. So we come to the bottom of half hour
linebacker?
Number one.
Yeah. Who's Jeff have them taking?
Based on that, C.J. Spiller.
Kid from Union County.
Well, he would be the pick if I was making the pick because he'd be the highest guy on my board. But
right.
I'm not making the pick. And I'm just... I'm getting vibes. I'm getting vibrations.
Let's take a break. News is next here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato. Back for about 24 more minutes of Jaguars This Week here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Glad to have you with us this evening. Phone lines are open at 355-NFL1 if you choose to jump in. We're just going through Todd McShay and Mel Kiper's combined mock draft. One of them had the Jaguars taking a running back. The other had the Jaguars taking a safety. We've been talking about big guys so much this spring. Does it make sense for them to take either position? And there will be big guys around, it would seem.
They'll take the highest-rated guy on their board. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't think this is baloney. I don't think that Gene Smith is looking us in the eye and lying to us. I really believe he will take the top guy on his board regardless of position. Now, I understand that there at some point has to be exceptions to that. But I don't think we're anywhere near that point yet.
Well, let me put it to you a different way.
Okay.
And we'll take C.J. Spiller and Earl Thomas, who are those two gentlemen's picks, out of the equation. Let's say it comes down to Brian Bulaga, right, a top-rated offensive tackle, and Dan Williams, a top-rated defensive tackle at 10. I understand the grade, but let's say they're of equal grade. Which player makes more sense for this team looking at their strengths and weaknesses from last year? Well, if everything's equal, what makes more sense to you?
That's a tough one,
because
I don't think Williams is a big pass-rushing type of guy.
He wasn't a Senior Bowl.
He was.
The whole Senior Bowl week, he kicked butt.
That's interesting because, you know, your strength right now is Maurice Drew on offense. Your biggest weakness on defense is pass rush. You know, so do you play to a strength or do you address a weakness? Yeah, you know, I don't know.
Well, first of all, you're talking about two guys who really are ranked or rated right in the same area.
That
know,
may be a
right around
10. Correct.
Yes. So you're not talking about
this is not theoretical.
A fall off in talent, much of a fall off from one to the other. If as you said, they were both had the same score, same grade. I'll throw this out. Bulaga might make you better at two positions.
And that's tackle and guard.
Or tackle and center, you know.
Because Evan Britton's a guy that can move inside.
Britton looks like he's a guy who can move inside a guard or center. And even if he moved to guard, Wanniri, you know, could move to center. And you got a young center then who's ready to replace Brad Meester. Or maybe Evan just moves to center and, you know, and it happens now. Bulaga would be a first round tackle who would carry a higher grade than Eben would have carried a year ago.
Correct.
And Eben would be an upgraded center. So I really believe that Gene Smith really believes in this best available thing, and I don't think anybody wants to believe it. I don't think the fan wants I don't think the fan wants to believe. I think the fan refuses to believe. I think they think it is a lie, that it's just GM speak, so to speak. But I don't believe that's the case. I really think Gene believes in the idea of taking the best available player.
Flip side, Loggy. Let's say the Jaguars, because they talked about it in the past. You're sitting there at 10, and Dan Williams is on the board. That could theoretically do the same thing because it could give you the freedom to trade John Henderson.
Yeah, and if you can pick
Does he
up,
have value?
That's right.
You're wanting to get more picks, aren't you?
I still believe in it. We're talking about, you know, situations or scenarios at pick number 10. You know, we all still believe, though, that this team wants to move down.
They have expressed that to every team in the league. Every team in the league knows that they want to get down. So, and you know, and of course, every team in the league makes it known to every team in the league what their particular interests are as far as moving. That's just what they do. I mean, these guys are all in it together. They're all GMs, and they need to fit themselves to the pick. You don't want to fit the pick to you. That's when you start reaching. That's when you start paying more money than a player's worth. The Jaguars want to move down. They want to get that second-round pick back, and they got, you know, there's some guys in the second round, especially early in the second round, that could really help them. You know, I'm going to throw a guy out, Sean Lee, the middle linebacker.
Penn State?
Yeah, I got a couple people. I know a couple guys who think he is a better prospect at middle linebacker than Rolando McClain. But this team doesn't have a second-round pick. Sean Lee does not exist for them. He's going to be a bottom of the first round, high second round, somewhere in a second-round guy. Jaguars have nothing there, so Sean Lee might as well not even be on their board unless they get a second-round pick.
Or trade down in the first round.
Or trade down the first round to where he might be, so it's not a reach. Although, if people think he's better than Rolando McClain, and I know a couple guys who do, and they're guys I trust, whose opinion I trust, I don't know why you just why it would be a reach. I mean, if you'll take McClain at 10, and you think, you know, if the other guy is better, although I'm not, that's that may not be their opinion.
Well, okay, let's look at it from a different perspective. You, we've decided that the value chart, the numerical value chart that Jimmy Johnson introduced years ago, right, it's thrown out. Okay,
well, you want to use it when you're trading down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to use it when you're trading up. So you would hope that Gene Smith is saying that, that he gets a partner that likes the chart.
Ozzie didn't use it. Ozzie Newsome didn't use it when he was trading down, and he won.
All right, so let's look at it.
Because he got the better player. That's why. Mm-hmm. It all comes down to who the heck you draft.
So let's look at it from that perspective. How far down would the Jaguars have to go to entice someone to give up their second-round pick?
If you dropped down to 18, 20, that would do it.
Yeah, well, what if someone at 23 said, we'll do it?
Well,
would you go back?
Sign me
jump
up.
Back. Yeah, absolutely.
Sign me
okay,
up.
So what you're saying is go back as far as it takes.
I go back to 30.
The Jaguars won't be asking for a lot of points on this. I don't think they're gonna need to win this trade. They want another pick, even if it meant moving back to 25 or 26. I'm sorry. Even if it meant moving back to 15 and getting an extra three, they'd be fine with that. Because then you can take the 2 threes and move up into the second
round.
But
would you want to do that? You know,
anything that represents an extra pick, you want to do it because this draft is so
deep.
But
what I'm saying
is
that you wouldn't want to package 2 threes to get a two.
You can't move far enough too far to move away from getting a good player. This draft is too deep.
Well, how about what the Eagles did? Remember a couple years ago, they moved out of the first round. They moved back, and they ended up with Kevin Cobb. So, obviously, you can do it, and it can pay off in a big way.
Well, there's guys we haven't mentioned. Jason Pierre-Paul, mouth-watering prospect. Mouth-watering
prospect. So, is he not in the top 10 anymore?
Looks like.
None of these boards you talked about, Brian, had him in there.
Or Derek Morgan, either one.
Yeah, the guy from Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Looks like Pierre-Paul is falling based on logic. And fear. Teams are looking at him and saying, you know, he's still a one-year wonder, and I'm going to have to pay him a lot of money. And if he's a bust, that's going to reflect on me. So I think he's falling a lot based on logic and fear.
Who's rated higher? Morgan
Pierre-Paul.
Or Pierre-Paul?
Pierre-Paul. This is a 4'6 guy who is so athletic, Jeff.
Did you ever see that video of him doing backflips?
Oh, he does. He's backflips.
He did 14
consecutive backflips. Looks like Nani Akamanich.
Well, this isn't Summer Olympics here, though.
This is the
real 6'6" guy do it, though. Can you?
This is Javon Kearse.
I used to do that back in the
day. This is Javon Kearse. This is a big-time athlete at a premier pass rush position.
Right now, the first place that he goes off the board seems to be, surprisingly, Tennessee. I mean, that's just someone connecting dots there, saying, well, Jeff Fisher once had Javon Kearse. But so he looks like a middle-of-the-first-round prospect at this point in time.
There are some other guys for whom teams might come up. Teams might want to come up for C.J. Spiller. C.J. Spiller is a difference-maker, a game-changer.
Chris Johnson kind of player?
Yeah, he has kick return ability. He's got catch-the-ball ability, run-with-the-ball ability. He's someone that you're going to have to make sure you know where he's at all the time. Kick away from kind of guy. He could cause somebody to come up.
Anyone else?
If you get a run on the big guys, which they will, Okung, Trent Williams, Belaga, then their ranks will start to dwindle, and a team might come up for an Anthony Davis,
and there's
a Bruce
teams,
Campbell.
There are some teams that have glaring needs at tackle.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you get a run at corner, if you get a run at any premium position, a run at defensive end, a run at cornerback, a run at offense, left tackle, yes, a team will be willing to come up.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's break. We've got one more segment of Jaguars This Week here on News Talk Radio. WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back, Jaguars, this week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato. Take a couple calls here in the final 8 minutes to the show. We've got Joe down on the south side. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Really appreciate your show, especially live. I just transferred over from Pensacola, Florida. I used to listen to you all the time on the Internet, but it's a great opportunity here to talk to you live. I've got a question. If the Jaguars were able to trade down and pick up a pick or two, and they picked up a safety in the lower first round, and possibly maybe work a deal with the Redskins to get Jason Campbell and maybe a later round pick as well, could you see an opportunity for them to possibly get Tebow in the second round and then kind of surround Tebow with, you know,
Jason Campbell? Wait, let me get this straight. You want to trade for Jason Campbell and then draft Tim Tebow?
Yeah, just round him with
Now, how many bad quarterbacks do you need?
Well, Jason Campbell's not that bad a quarterback.
He's not? He was judged in Washington to have been a bust.
Well, maybe he's surrounded by the wrong people. Maybe he didn't get the right coaching through. You know, they just fired their head coach.
Well, there's two arguments there with Jason Campbell, and that, you know, hey, look, he's had a different coordinator every year. But, you know, I think that most people will tell you that have watched him week in and week out will tell you that, hey, he hasn't been anything special. And Mike Shanahan knows quarterbacks. And if Mike Shanahan felt the need to go and get a Donovan McNabb and to give up a second-round pick and then a third or fourth in next year's draft, that's not a very glaring evaluation of Jason Campbell.
You don't want to turn your roster into a repository of failed players. You don't want to. You don't want to trade away draft picks. You know, these draft picks are pieces of gold. The Redskins paid a king's ransom for Albert Haynesworth last year, and they couldn't give him away. They couldn't give him to the Eagles.
He had a huge.
What do you mean? All the amortization stays. All the bonus money stays in Washington.
Yeah, but I think when that trade went down, you were looking at a huge payment that was
$9 million guaranteed.
No.
That's what's left.
No, I know, but I'm talking about a payment that was just made on April 1st.
He's got 3 years left in the contract.
Yeah, but
$21 million.
Haynesworth just got paid a guaranteed portion of a salary
by the Redskins
on April 1st by the Redskins. But when all these trade talks were going down and supposedly Albert was being floated out there, it was, I think, with the understanding that whoever got him would have to make that payment.
The Seahawks couldn't get a third-round pick for Sean Alexander. Couldn't get a third-round pick. It's picks, not players. It's players, not plays, and picks, not players. These teams are not going to part with draft picks for failed players. I guarantee you Gene Smith would never, never give away one of... How many picks does he have? Six. He would never give away one of his six picks for a quarterback who's been judged to have failed.
Did Haynesworth play that poorly last year?
No.
I mean, they're giving him away so readily? Yeah, I understand he doesn't want to make the move to a nose tackle.
Well,
in
Brian, you know what happens when you get a new head coach. You know, there's a new sheriff in town, and, you know, you want everybody to be on board with the new sheriff's program, and Albert didn't show up for the offseason workout.
He's a turd, Jeff. He's a turd.
Hey, look, you know. I don't know what kind of a guy he is. I don't know him personally. I just know one thing. Albert Haynesworth is the most dominant defensive player in the game today, bar none.
Well, in 2007 and 2008, both you and Jack Del Rio said on different nights, on different shows, he may be the most dominant player you'd ever seen.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. I didn't watch some, like Randy White. I heard Randy White when I didn't get a chance to watch him on film. The way I understood it, Randy White was an absolute beast in his time. But Albert Haynesworth, and I watched him a little bit last year. In what I saw, the guy is still the same player.
Can he be if they move him to nose tackle in the 3-4?
He can play anywhere.
Well, why wouldn't he want to do that?
He can play nose tackle. He can play end.
Wait a minute. The Redskins didn't want him. And the Eagles don't want him. All right?
Well, we don't know that. We don't know what part they didn't want.
They offered him?
Yeah,
Eagles wanted the picks.
But that's what I'm talking about with this huge payment that Haynesworth was due in early April, a couple days ago, that was may have prohibited that from happening. Because I think from what I understand, it was double-digit payment. Like, you know, I don't know exactly how many millions,
Look,
but it was a bunch.
We're heading into a year with a possible lockout. All right. Think of how that's going to impact the finances. Oh. Think about this draft.
How many draft picks do the Eagles have?
You pick a guy. What are his options?
Not a lot.
Sign or not sign. Except next year there may not be a season.
Take the money now.
So he wouldn't get into the he wouldn't go back into the draft until 2012. See what I mean? They almost have to.
And when he gets drafted at that point, the rookie wage scale, a real rookie
wage scale is going to be in place. So I mean, that's why it's always been picks, not players, but now it's really picks, not players. Teams want picks.
Except for the Redskins.
Redskins have just done a fantastic job. I mean, if they mess their pants once, they've done it every year. I mean, just what an absolute shameful mess of an operation.
I can't believe
that
Mike Shanahan would give up picks like that.
He's getting a lot of money. He's getting the final sting.
No, I know. He's getting a ton of money. What's he making, $6, $7 million a year? Yeah. Somewhere in that range. But, I mean, holy cow.
It's incredible what they have done to that proud football franchise.
He must really like Donovan McNabb. Second-round pick in the third or fourth next year?
Yep.
Mm. Oh, my hamstring. Count on it. Once he gets that new deal.
Will he get
it? Oh, my arm.
Will he get it?
Troy's got to get it. They traded for him. They're not going to give him a new deal?
What kind of maneuvering are the Eagles setting themselves up for? They got, they move Sheldon Brown and Chris Gokong.
They are rebuilding. They're gutting themselves without gutting themselves. I mean, this is how you do it. They are rebuilding, and they're going to rebuild within winning. Westbrook's gone, placed by McCoy.
It's going to make for a very intriguing year because these two guys now are forever linked, and we're talking about two quarterbacks.
By the way, same division. By the way, the Eagles and Redskins did this once before. This is before your time. Sonny Jurgensen and Norm Snead. They traded quarterbacks. Norm Snead to the Eagles. Sonny Jurgensen to the Redskins, and then they traded him back. So there's these two teams have a history of this. This is not unprecedented.
But it's rare in today's day and age, even back into the 70s, to see a prime player like that, premium position, from one team to the other.
The playbook just went from one team to its rival.
Right. That's why I'm dying to know who was behind it.
Joe Banner? Yeah.
Andy Reid or Jeffrey Lurie?
I think this was a triumvirate, and maybe even the fourth guy, Howie Wiseman, is that the new GM?
Yes.
Maybe he's got some of his thumbprint on this too.
But it can't happen.
But
without
this is
the
a
owner.
This is a Joe Banner move. Joe Banner is really sharp.
It can't happen without the owner saying. You don't trade the team's quarterback without
Lurie's
the owner signing
too.
Off.
They know what they're doing.
All right, 2 weeks from tonight, the mock draft. 2 weeks from tomorrow, round one, right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.